We go up to Madrid and Melissa Kitson at El País. Melissa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. And are you still cocooned in your apartment in central Madrid?
Yes, I'm still in my cozy apartment. But I did go into the office on Monday, so good. I am, you know, doing my part.
Good grief. Did people ask who you were, where your badge was, etc.? Did you have the right passes? I mean, honestly.
Yes, this time I can make it into the building. There was, I think the first week or so, I had some troubles because my pass had expired.
We'll come on to that because, we don't just throw this show together and it's one of the topics we'll be chatting about. But first off, let's check and see what's making the news. And this is a story that looks like, as the saying goes, it's got legs. And the people who landed in Palma certainly had legs. Explain a little bit about what happened.
Yes, this was a very interesting story. So on Friday night, there was a plane that was flying from Casablanca in Morocco to Istanbul in Turkey. It took off at around 6 p.m., but just after, under an hour, the captain is warned that there's a health emergency on board. So he requests permission to land and makes an emergency landing in Mallorca in the Balearic Islands. So this person on board is supposedly having a diabetic crisis. So the plane lands, an ambulance, pulls up to the plane, the gates are open, and the ambulance crew board the plane. But as soon as the doors to the plane open, a huge rush of people, the passengers from the plane, get up and start running and just sort of push past everyone and leave the plane, run onto the runway. There's some really dramatic video of this. And just sort of flee into the distance. So this, obviously raised a lot of alarms. The big question was, so what is happening? Was this just a spontaneous event where people saw this now's our chance, we're in Spain, let's make a run for it, or whether it was planned? So it actually emerged that there was a Facebook post from a while back in July, which had called for 40 volunteers to participate in a plan to fake a medical emergency and force it to land in Spain. So now this is what police are looking at. But it really caused a lot of problems because because of the situation, the airport decided to halt all activity at the airport. This affected around 50 flights that were either cancelled or rerouted. So it was a big issue. And of course you have all these people who've just sort of illegally entered the country. So 12 of them have been arrested. They've been found in the following days, but 12 of them still remain at large.
It really is quite something because, imagine, you got to still feel sorry for the passenger on the plane who had no idea about this because obviously they're just looking for a nice couple of days in Istanbul. But also, the poor paramedics who think they've got a medical emergency coming and then they found themselves literally being sort of shoved aside. And I've seen the video footage that somebody took on a mobile inside and they had a window seat. So not only have I got pictures of these young men literally sort of manhandling the poor paramedics, but then the guy sort of pans out to the aircraft and they're absolutely, Usain Bolt would be proud of the speed in which they take off.
There's just a very frantic and kind of aggressive move to get off the plane as quickly as possible. And of course, as for the man who supposedly had this diabetic crisis, the one who sparked the medical landing, he was discharged because they couldn't find any problem with him, and he's also been arrested. So the individuals have been arrested are facing charges of treason and crimes relating to immigration and breaking illegal entry into the country. But it has really sort of shocked the public, and it will be interesting to see whether or not it was planned. Whether they had organize this in advance, or whether it was just, look, now is our chance. Let's make a run for it.
The other thing is, I mean, it just goes to highlight, doesn't it, that some of the measures that are being taken. I mean, we've kind of got, this is not being flippant, but we've kind of got used to, you know, the hundreds of migrants, you know, taking a dash and trying to scale over the fences at Melilla and Ceuta, you know, the Spanish enclaves in North Africa. But this is something entirely different. It's gonna make the Spanish airlines and any airline flying from certain countries a little bit wary about the possibility of this happening again.
Yes, I mean, you would hate to think that, in the case of a real medical emergency, a captain might, question whether or not to land the plane. But we have seen, we are used to the immigration that comes from the boats. There's also been more stories of people, that was an incredible story of a young migrant who survived on a big tanker, sort of basically in that small space near the rudder. So there, people are taking more and more extreme measures to get into Spain.
Yeah, it's very one wag took one look at the picture of people sprinting across the runway towards the edge of the airport and said, are those just Brits landing at Malaga and trying to get into Torremolinos? Let's move from that one and one closer to home. In fact, one that must have spoken to you. Why remote working in Spain is a thing of the future?
Yes, this did catch my eye, this article. What El País was doing, when the pandemic hit, obviously so many people moved to home working, and it was, for months this was the case. And the idea was that, now that Spain has seen that this is a viable option, that people can work perfectly well from home in most cases, perhaps this kind of more flexible form of working will be, a normal part of, day-to-day Spanish working life. Because before the pandemic, very few people had the option of working from home. Although while some people were able to do so, it was the sort of the way they define it was like, if you work more than 3 days a week or such, and that was not an option, perhaps maybe a few hours here or there, but not in the way that we've seen it during the pandemic. And now that the coronavirus contagions are going down, many workers are going back to the office. But the big question is, why are people going back to the office, I suppose? Or why has this kind of not more flexible option, at least to have the possibility of working home, why hasn't that taken off in the way that it was expected to? And interestingly, Bayi spoke to various businesses, and one of their main arguments was that it's about the law that was introduced in 2020 to protect the rights of home workers. So it's kind of ironic, really, that a law that was meant to promote and help remote working has actually acted as a stumbling block. What businesses say is that it's just too demanding. So in order to, comply, there are quite a few, requisites. It's difficult for small businesses, particularly who, for instance, you need to make sure that your workspace is safe. But if it's if you're working from home under the constitution, inspectors can't actually enter, can't violate your home space, even if you say, yes, please come in. So that's one challenge. Also in terms of how much time, the government wanted to kind of avoid any legal gray areas and say, well, this is what is considered home working, which is 30% of your working week. But businesses say it's, maybe these formulas work during the pandemic. But now that people perhaps want more flexibility, it's not good to have such rigid measures. So that's sort of where we are now. So unfortunately, it would seem that this kind of idea that Spain, the office is a thing of the past, everyone's going to move to remote working, working from the Canary Islands or which I fortunately did for 1 month in winter. That is not really on the table, but we'll see, because there are I suppose, moves to try to make things more flexible. But, you know, the kind of response from the business world is that with the current conditions as they are set out under this law to protect home workers, it's just too difficult to implement it.
I mean, the interesting one, isn't it? Because if you are single or you don't have children, such as you know myself, I mean, working from home, it sounds sort of ideal. But if you're trying to juggle, and I mean, I should have got Simon on for this one. You're trying to juggle, you know, life with children and partner, and you know, trying to get everything done. It's very difficult to balance. And there's a group which I think is splendid called Surviving Working From Home, or sobrevivir a trabajar en casa.com, which is absolutely brilliant. My thing is, because Spain loves a funcionario, they love a civil servant, and I live in a reservoir, and certain things happen, and I had to call Jose Antonio, my contact, who works from the reservoir, checking the water levels, and I phoned him, and he said, "Well, we're not here." This was during the sort of the highlight, and he said, "No, we're working from home. We're monitoring the lake from home." They all had laptops and watching the lake, which is the ultimate funcionario working from home job. So we'll see where it goes, as the saying goes. And finally, octogenarian drug dealers, is this a thing?
Well, apparently police are investigating a handful of octogenarians in Spain for laundering money on behalf of a Spanish drug gang. So this group of men, on paper, they have earnings of, multi-million euros. They own properties. They have something like 40 bank accounts, a yacht. So the list goes on and on. But then, in one case, one of them is living in a residential facility in Madrid's, provided by Madrid the local government. And he is receives something like just under 300 euros a month in benefits for people who have no resources. And this is the kind of the pattern that's repeated. So on paper, they have just, the most luxury, the most luxurious of lifestyles. But then in reality, it's anything but, they're kind of in these disadvantaged positions, they're struggling, they don't have many resources. So, the question is, what is happening here? And it appears that there is a lawyer who works on behalf of a Spanish, one of the kind of main Spanish drug leaders who has been organizing this network of frontmen. So he uses these elderly men to, basically as frontmen, so that all the properties and wealth accumulated by, through illegal activities by this drug gang is hidden under their name. So now these men are facing charges for money laundering because of their involvement in these schemes. And another place did try to speak with them, but most of them were quite reluctant. They didn't want to get involved. But it seems quite a sad situation. According to sources, it's not like these men were making a lot of money from this particular scheme. They were given something like 100 euros each time they signed a document in a notary or a bank. So, far from the, hundreds of thousands of euros that they were actually laundering. But it is an interesting case. And as you say, you don't normally hear octogenarians and drugs in the same.
We're not seeing a bunch of 80-year-olds, driving around in Ferraris and in Hugo and Giorgio Armani suits. Basically, they're not living the Scarface lifestyle.
No, they're not living the Scarface lifestyle. Sort of sad when you think that they have really been taken advantage of. They're living in, they're receiving aid from the state. One of them makes less than 8,000 euros a year. And they've somehow been lured into this scheme by this kind of shady lawyer. His name is Ramon Garcia Crespo. And, this has all been kind of pulled apart in what was known as Operation Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, what is sort of actually happening and what will happen to these men who have sort of been lured into working on behalf of a drug gang.
Well, it's an interesting one, and I advise that people go to El País in English to check that story out. Melissa, as always, great to speak to you. Glad that you managed to make it out from the apartment into the newsroom for one more time. If people want to check out those or any other story, there's actually talking about lakes and reservoirs. There's a great story in El País this month about the villages that were flooded when Franco started making reservoirs. And where I live, there are a couple of huertas that were submerged, and they're starting to come through because we need some rain down here in the south. So that one struck a chord. So I advise that people go in and check out that story as well. Where can people check out the latest news in Spain?
You can come to us at english.elpais.com.
Melissa Kitson, as always, be good, stay safe, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Thanks, Giles. Speak soon.